1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, he writes, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. The power of the text that we have as the epistle this morning is can only be ratified personally by anybody sitting here, is if you have some grasp of what it means to experience futility. And I'd just like to ask you at the start of this short sermon whether you ever wonder if something that you're part of in life is basically futile and ultimately lacking in any kind of lasting significance. I'm seeing, for example, about your first marriage. Not the one when your husband died, but the one where your husband is no longer here, but he's still alive. Or vice versa. You look back upon a thing like that and you say, what in the world? I thought I loved him. I said I loved him. We had these children, and yet I hope I never see the crumb. Futility. There are whole vast tracts of a person's life that if you look with any kind of self-awareness at it, you have to wonder, what was that chapter all about? Or let's say you're raising your children. What happens with raising children is that after your children have gone away, you find yourself sometimes wondering, what was that all about? I mean, I gave my entire life to ferrying these children everywhere, to thinking about them, worrying about their welfare, putting gallons of Robitussin down their throats, ear infections, diapers, plus the heartaches of DWI late night arrests. And I gave everything here. I gave everything, but they're not even here anymore. And maybe they're only two blocks away, but I never see them. And sometimes you have to ask the question, what was it all about? All those years that I put my entire existence into my children's life, and yet it's as if it almost doesn't exist. You know, we have an expression, that was then and this is now. Well, if you've ever thought of saying that, you know what futility is all about. These are futile years. Or maybe your career. You know, it's amazing the number of retired people who never really think about their career at all. A couple of them are angry. But you can go out into retirement and not give a second thought to what you did for 30 years. Not even think one second about it. Maybe you're relieved, whatever, but you can look back upon your professional life at which you gave your all, and you can say, what was that about? I don't even think about it. I don't dream about it. So I'm just wondering, do you ever wonder if some aspect of your life has been in vain? Love in vain, to quote the Stones. Futility. Now, it's very interesting that he says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, our faith is futile and we are still in our sins. What that means is, if this is all there is, and if that was then and this is now, obviously something must be wrong here. There must be some futility to my experiences, especially the ones that are sort of not very well harmonized in my memories. So he is foiling the resurrection of Christ with the futility of life. That's his comparison. Now, there's one other aspect to futility. The very existence of death is a question mark placed against all college tries and hard-working, hard-charging investments of life. The very fact of death is a huge question mark over against parenting and marriage, happy or unhappy, and career, effective and fruitful, or vain and desperate and disappointed. The mere fact of death, you see, is a question mark against life. Now, you know, if we were to go in a time machine and interview your great-great-granddaughter today, and we asked your great-great-granddaughter who you were, what do you think the chances are that she would know? Maybe 5%. Until she's interested in, when she's retired, when she suddenly gets interested in family trees on the internet. What happened, you have parents like that, I know you do. So what this means is that when Paul says, not only if Christ has not been raised, we're still caught in the past, which is what he means when he says you are still in your sins, but then he says, if in this life only we have hope, then we are of all people the most to be pitied. So the mere fact that this life is concluded by death, and I watch the obituary perish like a hawk. You're going to find this the older you get. I'm sure the older among us will tell us this. You start watching the obituaries to find out when people die, and I average it every day. People in France live longer, et cetera, et cetera. I average it. How many years do I have? If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men to be pitied. Now, do you see the point one of this two-point sermon? One is that surely you've got to be wondering what certain experiences and people and unhappy moments in your life really amounted to. You've got to occasionally ask the question. And if you're not even asking that question, the mere existence of an obituary page in the Birmingham News has got to force you to say, if this is it, then what really is going on here? Well, my second and concluding point comes from verse 20, where he says, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. It's not a metaphor. It has nothing to do with the crocuses or spring. I mean, I thought spring was coming Saturday, didn't you? You've been out this morning? Spring is notoriously elusive. Winter is notoriously elusive. The birds and the bees, in every sense of that expression, are notoriously elusive. If Christ, however, has been raised, he says, it is a fact. It is an ejaculation. He says, in fact. He throws that word in fact. And what he means to say is that the sort of karma of futility, which the Buddhists understand, they have no recipe for it except detachment, but they understand it. The karma of the wheel in the sky was broken at this remarkable historic event. I can't tell you enough how important that is, because if it's not true, then, you know, we should become a Buddhist or Oscar Wilde or something like that. We should just throw it all in and become an Epicurean. He says, in fact, despite the futility of existence and the futility of the past, Christ has been raised from the dead. Notice he says, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I can't tell you that you're going to rise from the dead out of some wish. You ever been to one of these funerals and they say, oh, Aunt Margaret was so great, she's probably up in heaven skating around just as busy as she was. I want to go like this, because it's not true. What evidence? Is there any evidence that Aunt Margaret is there skating around? None. It's a wish. Sure, it's nice to think. There's no evidence for it. I've seen her. Now, in fact, however, Christ has been raised from the dead, which is to say, we know that she is there because Christ came out of the tomb, and one day, by a miracle, we will be with him. Don't take seriously any of those services where people sort of make wishful points about he's up there laughing at us, telling dirty jokes in the front yard of the inn at heaven. The fact is, he's dead, and that's wishful thinking, unless there are an intervention in the karma. And the intervention, we believe, was in fact coming as an interruption in the history of the world. I was talking to a woman about 6 months ago who was very sick, and as we always tell her, we say, where are you spiritually? Where are you spiritually? That's the only thing that matters now. I know you're not well, but where do you find yourself? Just so you can say it for yourself. And she said a fascinating thing. She said, I believe in Christ as my Savior, but I don't believe there's an afterlife. And I said, why? And she said, because I'm a doctor. And I know that when the brain is dead, perception dies. And all this talk about some spirit, you know, when I die, my part of my spirit is on the roof looking down at me as they try to resuscitate. She said, I'm convinced that's all a hallucination. But perception ends when the brain dies. Well, I happen to agree with her. Because we're told in the Bible that we are risen in the twinkling of an eye. It is a miracle that we are risen from the dead. It's nothing natural, has nothing to do with some kind of aura or some kind of 1970s newspeak, which that was. It is only because one man emerged from the tomb with open eyes. You might say a resuscitated corpse, if we can go it that strongly, but a man who is totally new in his life, that's the only reason that we have to go on. And that is why you and I will be raised from the dead in the twinkling of an eye. will be in the heavenly kingdom. But it has nothing to do with some natural persistence of aura. Well, I leave it with you. If you are at all confused as you look back upon your first marriage or your lost love or your weird career turns, or the fact that you gave everything for your children, but you know, all it amounts to right now is a couple of photographs on the television of your grandmother's nursing home room, and she wouldn't know them if they came in the door. If you're at all puzzled by the futility of human existence, not to mention the futility of termination, I'm here to remind you that you're right. The only thing that could possibly weigh out against that would be if there had been an interruption in the force. And it happened, and it's the first fruits, and it's all we've got, and it's powerful, and it happened once. So for that single reason alone, there's a but in fact. The first fruits of all who have died, futile lives in part, but we shall all be raised from the dead. That's the only answer to futility that the Bible gives us. And incidentally, it allows us to say with the children, to Tom, incidentally, that Christians never ultimately say goodbye. Now, let our light so shine before all that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven.